welcome to Comic Talk today for Tuesday, August 14th, 2018. And because it is Tuesday, it is time to talk about the news.
You know what just happened? The party just got started, people.
And you know, the last couple of weeks have been pretty DC news heavy, and it seems that that has changed this week. I've been wondering, where's all the Marvel news? Well, don't worry, Marvel fans. I've got some news for you today. But first up, I want to talk about Mark Miller's new comic book, Prodigy, that's being launched. This is going to be the second book since Netflix took over the studio last year. Of course, the first one is Magic Order. The third issue is out, I think, this week. And I've really been enjoying that series, so I'm looking forward to Prodigy. This is, of course, written by Mark Miller with art by Raphael Albuquerque, whom I absolutely adore. He's a brilliant artist, and I can't wait to see this. This centers on a super genius guy, hence the name Prodigy, that is enlisted by governments around the world to pretty much solve their problems. And it looks like he may be part James Bond, part like Tony Stark, kind of in a way. And I think that's a really interesting way to do it. Of course, he did, what was the book that he did? Huck, a couple of years ago, that was kind of a take on Superman. And I think this may be kind of his take on Iron Man. I think that's pretty interesting. The book will be out December 5th. And again, this is going to be from Netflix Comics, which I think is being distributed by Image. Somebody let me know who's distributing these things, because I know it's not Netflix. But yeah, really interesting. I'm looking forward to this one. There's a pretty interesting article talking to Mark Miller on The Hollywood Reporter, and I'll be sure to put that in the show notes, so check that out so you can learn more about it. I do love these covers too, by the way. They're fantastic covers. All right, so let's talk about Marvel stuff. There's a couple things going on that I think are pretty important in terms of Marvel. And the first one is, of course, the return of the Uncanny X-Men, which broke pretty much, I think, the day of or the day after last week's news episode, so I didn't get a chance to talk about it. But I want to talk about it here. And the book is being written by three writers, which I think is a pretty interesting way to do this. We've got Ed Brisson, who's been doing a lot of work with the X-Men franchise as of recently. He is, of course, writing the new Exterminator book that's coming out this week. We've also got Kelly Thompson, whom I adore. She is fantastic. She's doing Nancy Drew. She's doing the Jessica Jones book. And Matthew Rosenberg, who most recently has been doing work on Astonishing X-Men. And of course, the book that some people love, some people hate, Multiple Man. The art is going to be done by Mahmoud Azrar, R.B. Silva, and Yildre Senar. And you're thinking to yourself, why so many people working on this book? Well, there's a reason for that. And the book is going to be weekly, at least at first. Now, this has me a little worried. I hate weekly books. For many years, I avoided them completely. Even Batman books, like Batman Eternal and all that stuff, I didn't read any of that stuff until after it was over. Because I read so many comics, I find it really hard to actually devote some time to a weekly series. But you know what? I've kind of changed a little bit on that. Most recently, there was some stuff going on with the Avengers that I really enjoyed, so I was picking that up weekly. And I may have changed my tune on it. I think I might be in on weekly comics. But I think weekly comics are kind of hard for a lot of people, and it takes a really special book for it to be done properly. And I think Uncanny X-Men might be a book that will do well weekly. Again, I don't know if it's going to be weekly, you know, the entire run of the series, but it looks like they're going to kick it off with a 10-weekly issue arc called Disassembled, and we don't know a whole lot about what this means, but there is a teaser image, and I think I tweeted about it yesterday, the day before, and you know, it's got basically an almost entire cast of X characters, and they're divided into four with the X in the middle. So I'm assuming maybe the teams will somehow kind of be divided up into these segments that we see. Not quite sure yet. Of course, missing from this image is the original X-Men that are the main team in X-Men Blue, because I'm sure they're going to be going away after the events of Extermination that starts this week, but they may still be around. I don't know yet. Of course, Cyclops died. When was that? IVX, the Inhumans versus X-Men storyline that I really dug. He died in that, and so it looks like he's also missing from this list. I don't know if he'll be back or not, but at least for now, he's not going to be on here. If the team breakdowns are based on this image, I think they look pretty interesting. Of course, one being led by the newly resurrected Jean Grey, I think that's pretty cool. One looks like would feature Rogue and Gambit pretty prominently, and that makes perfect sense, because now that we've got the Mr. and Mrs. X book, I think they're going to be at the forefront of the X-Men franchise for a while. The one that looks really interesting to me is up top with Nightcrawler and Banshee, maybe Archangel. That looks pretty interesting as well. So we'll see what this goes. I'm curious to read the 10 issues. I'll definitely be giving this run at least those 10 issues because I'm very excited for Uncanny X-Men coming back. It's been quite a long time, and I think the X-Books have been pretty solid lately. I really like X-Men Blue. Gold has been pretty good. Red is an interesting book, but some of the other ones haven't done very well, and they've kind of disappeared as well, right? Like Generation X, I did not enjoy that book very much. So looking forward to seeing how this will change, starting with Extermination this week, how this will impact the future of the X-Men characters, and how the return of Uncanny will hopefully bring the this side of the Marvel Universe kind of back in line to where we want it to be. I think there were some interesting things done with the Gold and Blue books and the Red book, but I think there's something about having that Uncanny X-Men name, right? And if all goes well, then I'm hoping that this brings it back to some kind of status quo that all of us try not to use profanity in this podcast. Old fogies will start enjoying this series again. So we'll see how that goes. But again, that launches in November. It'll kick off with the 10-part weekly disassembled storyline. And I'm excited. The creative team looks great. It looks like because it's a weekly book, they're going to be doing one artist per issue. So Mahmoud Azrar on the first one, RB Silva on the second, and Sinar on the third. And then I'm sure it'll keep rotating in that order. Marvel's trying out different like timelines of publishing books. A lot of the books are coming out every 3 weeks now, some 2 weeks. So this could be interesting. Could be interesting. I'm looking forward to it. And that will come out November 14th. Since we're talking about weekly books, I guess I should mention, because I know this came up in our Discord chat, Ronnie brought it up, and I told him, I was like, dang it, I'm talking about this on the show today. Let's not talk about it right now. Wait till after the episode's out. And John Byrne used to work for the X-Men, right? He had a fantastic run on there. His run ended sometime in the 80s, and a lot of things changed kind of as he was leaving the book. Based 99.9% on editorial direction is my understanding. So there are certain characters that died, certain storylines that went in a direction that Byrne didn't really want it to go into, and he ended up leaving Marvel. And he hasn't worked at Marvel since. And, Marvel has republished some of his work over the years. That's kind of to be expected. I know there's a couple new things coming out now. Like there's an artist edition coming out from IDW with John Byrne stuff. And he still worked in comics. I think he was most recently doing the Battlestar Galactica series. Battlestar Galactica versus Battlestar Galactica, which had a storyline that kind of crossed between the original TV show and the rebooted TV show from, 5-10 years ago on Sci-Fi Channel. And by the way, still one of my favorite series, even though it kind of lost its way towards the end. But he's still been working on comics. And I guess during this whole time, he kind of was penning some stuff. He had these ideas for how he would continue his X-Men storyline. And he drew a page, and he really liked it. So he did another one, and another one, another one. And next thing you know, he's done like 20 pages. He's got almost a full issue done. He's, I guess, already plotted out like a second, third, and fourth issue. He's got ideas for a fifth issue. And he was posting all these on his message board. And somehow, not surprisingly, C.B. Cebulski, editor-in-chief at Marvel, caught wind of all this, and he's like, I really love it. He's like, listen, we should talk about this. And I guess at a recent con, they ended up meeting. There was a picture of them handshaking. They had breakfast together, supposedly. So there may actually be some talks about this. And, of course, nothing is set in stone yet, right? Still very early on. But, if Cebulski's interested, if Byrne's like, well, maybe I can put some things aside and after 20 years come back and work for Marvel, as long as they let me do whatever I want. And that's kind of the gist of the story, is he would agree to do this if they pretty much let him tell whatever story he wanted to tell. And that story is called X-Men Elsewhen, by the way. So, I don't know. We'll see. I'm hoping that this comes true. Looking at some of the pages, it looks like Byrne still got it. And, of course, it's a very different art style as to today's comics. It's a much older art style. But it still works very well for me. And I love John Byrne. And I would love to see the story come to fruition. So I will definitely stay tuned to the story and see where it heads. But I hope that he and Marvel can come together in some way. And, the good thing is, C.B. Cebulski is great. about finding talent, right? Mostly new talent, and that's part of the reason why he was placed in the position that he's in, is because he is very good at finding talent and, you know, in particular, like, smaller indie talent, and seeing that spark in him, right? And like, yeah, you'd be great doing this at Marvel. And he's been doing that for years, even before he was editor-in-chief. And I think, you know, if anybody can do it, it might be Cebulski, because he's got a different mentality about the way he wants to run this company than some of the other editor-in-chiefs. So we'll see how that goes. Final bit of Marvel news. It looks like Marvel is lobbying for Disney to reinstate James Gunn to take over Guardians of the Galaxy. I guess there's already a script for the movie, and because of certain things that happened that Gunn said years ago on Twitter, he was fired. I haven't talked about it because I don't really care to talk about it. I think a lot of it seems very political, and that's not something that I like to talk about on this podcast. But Marvel kind of really wants James Gunn back. Of course, he did fantastic on that series. I love both of those films, Guardians 1 and 2. My kids love the movies. We've seen them many, many times. Matter of fact, God, for a while, my youngest daughter and I, she wanted to watch Guardians all the time. I think the week before Guardians 2 came out, we saw Guardians 1 like 4 or 5 times. I was almost getting Guardians out. But I think that says a lot as to the kind of film that this guy can make. And, you know, I don't think Disney will hire him back, because Disney really wants to uphold that kid-friendly image. And, of course, some of the comments, regardless of how this story fared out and how much I agree with one side or the other, the comments that were said were pretty nasty, and it doesn't fit with what Disney wants to do with their company. And I totally understand that. So we'll see how that goes. Maybe Disney will actually use parts of the script to base their own story on it. Not sure what the deal is with that yet. It seems like that should be something that they should be deciding pretty quickly, because the movie has to be going into production fairly soon, I would assume, right? They can't push it off way too much just based on the fact that James Gunn is not involved anymore. So this is a story that I'm looking at very closely, just to see what it is that Disney decides to do. I know that there were rumors about Warner Brothers trying to hire James Gunn to bring him into the DC extended universe. I don't know if that any of that is true or if it's just a rumor, but a lot of interesting stuff going on with this story as well, and it's one to keep an eye out on. Final bit of news is from Aftershock, and I find this really interesting because I love Aftershock comics. I hope that if you listen to this podcast, you have at least checked out a title from Aftershock, and I could definitely recommend you quite a few. Baby Teeth, for example, is one of my favorites over there right now. Animosity's been absolutely solid since the beginning, and there's two titles for that particular side of the universe. Aftershock has decided that in order to help retailers expand how much they put on their shelves, they're going to be doing full returnability on all number one issues. In fact, for some books, they're even extending it to number twos. So this will start with the books that are going into FOC pretty soon, the final order cutoff, if you didn't know what that meant, and coming up on August 20th, which I guess is next week, so coming up pretty soon. And that book is Moth and Whisper number 1, Hot Lunch Special number 2, which I just talked about Hot Lunch Special number 1, and it was my pick of the week, so you should definitely check that out. And Volition number 2, which Volition 1 comes out tomorrow, and I read it. Really interesting story. I like where it could go. So I like that they're doing this. I think this is something that a lot of indie publishers need to be doing. It's much easier for a shop to sell a Marvel or a DC book because there are decades and decades of history there. There's an established audience, an established fan base. But a lot of these smaller companies can't afford to do that. And some guys like to do the variant thing, right? So Valiant, for example, is notorious for pushing out tons of variants in order to sell books. And that is definitely one way to do it. But I think if you really want to engross a fan base and make those books available and give retailers really a good incentive on why they should carry your book, it's not necessarily to appease the speculator market with a ton of variant covers. It's to allow the shop to say, hey, even if I don't sell these, I can send them back and I don't lose any money. Right. And that is kind of a win-win, because with the variant game, you have to still kind of peddle some of these variants to try to recoup the cost of making gigantic orders to pay for like a 1 in 100 or a 1 in 500 or a 1 in 1000 variant cover. Having full returnability, there's none of that. All shops need to do for this is order 5 copies of the book, and whatever's not sold is fully returnable. And generally, by Diamond standards, the returnability is within 30 days, 30 to 45 days. So it's still a pretty good window to sell that book. And I think this will be pretty successful for them. Aftershock does some really amazing work. They've got a lot of great titles. They have some really great creators that a lot of people know. And I'm surprised their books don't sell a lot more than they do. And maybe part of that is trying to get them into comic shops. And that's one of the reasons why they're doing this. But really interesting initiative. I wish more publishers did this. I think either Boom or IDW, one of the two, does returnability on the number one issues as well. And so this could be a pretty good tactic. And extending it to number two, I think, makes sense. Because, of course, if you follow comic book sales, you know that generally number one issues do at least 100% more than number twos. Now, this is not always the case, right? So you might have a book selling 100,000 copies on the first issue. And maybe if it's like, I don't know, Tony Stark Iron Man or something, you might do like 60,000 for number two. So you still have a sharp drop off, but much higher than most. A lot of books, I mean, you'll see at least a half of the order for issue two. And, you know, this may be fix some of that, because if there's no downside for the shop, why not just order it and see what it's about? And as a reader, a lot of times you may want to spend more than one issue trying to figure out if you like the book. I know I've had a kind of hard set rule for years now that I always, if I try a book, I will usually, if it's an ongoing, okay, now miniseries, this might be a little different, but if it's an ongoing book or something that's longer than four or five issues, I will generally give a book at least one arc to decide whether I like it or not. And this works mostly well with Marvel and DC books. With the indie books, maybe not so well, because a lot of the indie books are 4, 5, or 6 issue miniseries. And so I need to make that decision much earlier on, within the first or second issue. And I haven't really talked about my criteria for deciding how I do that. Maybe I'll make an episode out of it at some point. But this is a great initiative. I hope that shops take them up on this. I know that the shops that they have relationships with, they have really good relationships with as well. The folks at Aftershock really know their stuff, and they love what they do, and they love the comics that they put out. And I really have not been disappointed with any of the books. Obviously, some are better than others, but I don't think there really has been a bad book. In particular, over the last year, I think the output at Aftershock over the last year has been absolutely incredible. So I hope this works out. If you have a shop that you use local to you, be sure to tell them, hey, Aftershock's doing this. Can you get me Hot Lunch Special? Get me Volition? Get me Beyonders? Whatever works. But yeah, great initiative. I look forward to seeing how this one pans out as well. All right, before I wrap the episode up, I want to talk about the Comixology sales charts for the week of August 8th, 2018. This would have been last week. And, of course, I've been doing this in the last couple of episodes, and I think there's been some good feedback on it. And the reason I want to do it, and I've mentioned it before, is that I feel like Comixology numbers are a little more indicative of what people are reading than these Diamond sales numbers. And there's already preliminary Diamond sales stuff. I'm not going to talk about it today. I may do it at the end of the week. But I would say, since I've been doing this, it's the first time that I'm seeing a trend in the top-selling books of Comixology that more equates to what I usually see in the print comics. And, of course, we don't have numbers, actual physical numbers, for the Comixology sales charts, but I will be comparing it to the previous issue print sales for that particular book. And I'll only do the top 10, but I'll be sure to post a link in the show notes so you can check out this list yourself. Number one on the ranking is, not surprisingly, Fantastic Four. Number one, no previous issue sales because it's the number one issue. But, of course, I would expect this to be number one in digital. And I also expect it to be, if not one, definitely top three when the print numbers come out. Superman number two, another not surprising copy there. Number two on the list, previous print issue sold 133,703 copies, ranked number 5 for the month. Amazing Spider-Man issue number 3, which I talked about yesterday, number 3 again. This is 113,944 copies for issue 2 last month, ranked at number 7. Darth Vader number 19, 48,201 at number 34. Sandman Universe, another number 1. So this one's not surprising that it's on the list. Detective Comics 986 at 51,750, ranked 29. Flash 52, 53,616 at number 26. Injustice 2, number 70. This is digital first, so there's no print equivalent. Number 9 is Titans 24. This was a little surprising, but I'm glad that it's on there because my buddy Brent Peoples is doing the art now, so it's freaking awesome. Sold 33,060 copies at number 50. And rounding out the top 10, Hal Jordan and the Green Lantern Corps, number 50, the final issue of Venditti's run at 27,998 for the previous issue, ranked at number 67. So, really solid list. Matter of fact, if you keep going down the list, I really was not surprised by anything on this list. And maybe this past week was a little more Marvel DC heavy, and that definitely reflects on the sales chart. But really nice to see this list, and I continue to follow it because I do feel like this list makes more sense to get kind of the vibe of what's selling and what's not in comics, right? Remember, the diamond sales you get are order numbers, not necessarily sell-through numbers. And the thing about Comixology sales is every copy that's sold is accounted for. So this, to me, is a much purer list. And that's going to wrap up this news episode of the week for Comic Talk Today. Thank you all for listening. I got to tell you, I'm on vacation this week. It's the second day. I'm really enjoying not having to work. And I'm really enjoying podcasting. Matter of fact, I've got a lot of podcasts I've been recording today. Hopefully tonight I will be doing an interview for Therapy Thursday. We'll see how the scheduling works out. It's been a little tough. We've been trying to nail it down for a couple of weeks. But my guest is kind of busy on a movie set right now. So we've kind of had to push back and forth. I've had to reschedule. He's had to reschedule. If all goes well, that episode will be out Thursday or Friday. If not, I will let you all know. But I will be back tomorrow with another episode. I want to thank you all for listening. You can find me on Twitter @Geekvine. You can email nerdylegion@gmail.com, and I'll catch you tomorrow.